Well, good evening. Welcome to Bethel Evangelical Church, this live stream service on a Sunday night. Now we're beginning our service with a verse from the Old Testament, Joel chapter 2, verse 13, an opening prayer. And then we're taking our New Testament reading immediately, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, reading the whole of the 13 verses of that chapter. So whether you're local, whether you're joining us further afield, whether you're catching up with this service during the week, we pray now that it will be a time of blessing and encouragement to us all. And the verse simply reads, "Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity." Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are interested in our inner beings, the state of our minds and hearts and emotions, and we can commit ourselves to you now as we gather for this evening service. Lord, would you meet with us at point of need in the depth of our very natures? And Lord, we would ask also that as we come, you would help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, and that the name of the Lord Jesus would be glorified. Amen. So our New Testament reading then, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, the whole of that third chapter. We read, "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker, in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in the faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our effort might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecutions, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts, so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." And we'll be considering the opening five verses of this third chapter in a moment. Well, let's bow in prayer now together. Let's pray together before we look at these verses. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to open the word, be before each other, but also, Lord, before you. And we would ask now that you would be pleased to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive, that, Lord, your spirit would illuminate us. Help us to see beyond the heart of the Apostle Paul tonight to a greater heart, the heart of our dear Lord Jesus and his great love for his people. And Lord, as we think of one then who left this earth after accomplishing so great a salvation, and sent another like unto himself to comfort, strengthen, and be with us. And Lord, as Paul was able, with the restrictions he had upon himself, to send Timothy, who he knew was reliable and trustworthy, we thank you, Father, for the Spirit who came on that day of Pentecost and has abided and dwelt and remained with your people ever since. May your Spirit tonight help us to stand in this evil day, as those dear Thessalonians had to do so in their own time. And Lord, then having done all, may we stand with that armour of Christ upon us. So bless us now in this time and prepare us for the uncertain week. Lord, we do not know what a day can bring forth as we await, Lord, news of further restrictions and developments in Cardiff and in London. Oh Lord, may we more and more rely upon the one who sits upon the throne, and to know that it is all well with our souls if we have repented of sin and trusted in the Lord himself. Hear our prayer. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Now we're turning then to these opening five verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And a quick summary of the chapter now then before we look at the first opening five verses. The first thing we notice in these five verses is the reason for Paul sending Timothy on a visit to the Thessalonians. There's a reason for it. Secondly, in verses 6-8, we have this wonderful report that Timothy brings of how the Thessalonians are doing, and it delights the heart of the Apostle Paul. And then we move into verse 9 to verse 13, where you have the request or the prayer of the Apostle for the believers at Thessalonica. And what we read there could well be a prayer that we know we could pray for one another, as the Apostle prayed under the inspiration of the Spirit of God there for the believers. So there's the reason why Paul sends Timothy, the report that Timothy brings, and the request or prayer that he offers, Paul offers on behalf of the Thessalonians. That's the outline of this third chapter, and that's where we'll be going, God willing, over the next couple of occasions. But for tonight, we're looking at the opening five verses under that big heading then of the reason Paul sent Timothy. And we're looking at that then under three short, smaller headings. And they are, first of all, in verses 1 and 5, we notice Paul has a longing to know. And it's repeated in verse 1, in the plural, we'll have a look at that. Certainly we know of the opening verse of this epistle, a letter, Paul, Silas and Timothy. And then in verse 5, it's in the first person, and Paul is saying, I could wait no longer. I longed to find out about you. So this longing is repeated in verses 1 and 5. Secondly, then, let's have a look at the labourer who is released and sent to Thessalonica, Timothy. Paul picked him out and sent him. And we look at that, the qualifications of him, and what his purpose was in going there, to strengthen and to support them and to establish them and equip them. And then verse 3 and 4 tells us of a lesson. And it's a lesson that's recalled. It's a lesson in one sense that's told them again. There's a retelling of it. Something that Paul had told the Thessalonians when he was there with them, but he reminds them of it again. And it's simply this, that if you are a Christian, life can be hard. But that's part and parcel of the purposes of God in our lives. Not everyone is going to like us. Not everyone is going to be glad because we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. That might be your circumstances. You might have become recently a young convert, a new believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And although your heart is full of joy and gladness to think your sins are forgiven and he has promised to dwell and be with you through your life, you know that there are others who are not too happy about that. Well, it's part and parcel of being a Christian. It's a small cost that we have to bear, bearing in mind the days in which we live. So there we are, the longing repeated, the labourer released, and the lesson recalled. So let's dive into this. Verse 1 tells us, surely, but when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. Now, someone has said, no news is good news. I suppose we know what they mean. You've been for a test, perhaps, and you're waiting the test, a result, and no news has come in the weekend. You probably say to yourself, well, that's probably good news, because if it had been something serious with my heart, they would probably have rung me back. And we know people who've had that. They've gone for a test, and within half an hour, the surgery is ringing them. You have to have made an appointment for you in the hospital. Here's the ward. Pack your bag. You're in tonight. So sometimes no news is good news. But in this instance, with the Apostle Paul, no news was not good news. No news was a concern for the Apostle. Now, again, we've got to remember, we have little understanding of this today. You see, whatever your family is, a couple of little buttons you press on a phone or something you do on a computer, you can see them, you can speak to them. You're relieved immediately to know they've arrived safely, or that at what time they'll be coming for dinner. These things are on our fingertips at the moment. But the days of the Apostle Paul were much different than that. And so no news had been filtering through in the time when, since Paul had left Thessalonica, to the time now he had moved to Berea. He's in Athens, and no news. So he's concerned. And Paul, we know, had a heart for these believers. That came out at the end of chapter 2. Remember how he spoke? He was like a mother, like a father, called them brothers. He felt himself, he couldn't be with them. He felt like a child bereaved, a child orphaned. These are the sort of very emotional phrases that he uses. It shows us the heart of the Apostle Paul, and he longed to know how they were. And so much was his concern that we read now that he was prepared to be personally inconvenienced. What do we mean by that? Well, he says that we were willing and thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. So the triumvirate, that's Paul, Silas and Timothy, working as a team, going from place to place, the support that they were to one another. We read verses in the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes, a threefold cord is not easily broken. You've got a team of three, and you work alongside each other and support each other and pray for one another and encourage one another. That was the team, and they were pressing through these areas of modern-day Greece, bringing the gospel. But such was the apostles' concern to find out what the Thessalonians were doing. He was willing to split up that triumvirate. He was willing to send Timothy, we will read, on to find out how they were doing. And so you have this reference here to we thought it best, we could stand it no longer. Now, in sending Timothy, I suppose there is a joint decision, so that we include the three of them, but specifically it includes Paul and Silas, so they'd be down to two. Now, there is a reference in Acts chapter 17 and verse 5 that Paul went on to Athens alone and actually sent a message back request that Silas and Timothy should join him later. So you do have a reference in Acts chapter 17 verse 6 that Paul was in Athens on his own. So the arrangement was agreed, but actually Paul was in Athens on his own. And of course, when you read about Paul at Athens in Acts chapter 16, to the end of the chapter verse 34 in Acts 17, it was a city given to much idolatry. And Acts 17, verse 16 does tell us that Paul was distressed when he saw all that idolatry. And so he could have done with that, the human company, as they then thought about how best to bring the gospel to these, he called them in some senses superstitious people. They had gods and shrines to all sorts of gods, even to an unknown god. And it was that gave Paul the opportunity to speak to them about the God that they could know, and the God who had revealed himself through the Old Testament, and especially in the person of the Lord Jesus. So whether Silas was absent is referred to in Acts 17, verse 15, so he could well have been on his own. So Paul is left to bat alone there. But he was so concerned to find out about the Thessalonians, he was prepared for that time of isolation. It shows us the heart of the apostle. No news was not good news in this case. He wanted to know that they were standing firm. And then you notice in verse 5, this same emotion, this same concern is expressed. The end of verse 5 reads simply this: "For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith." So this comes again. It's interesting, this longing. He could stand it no longer. He had to know. He had to know. And so the reason is given is simply this. He wanted to know not about their faith. Not so much here now about what the individual articles of faith that they were believing, but were they walking in faith? Were they carrying on in their Christian life? That's what he wanted. He wanted that assurance that the work that had begun, remember how he spoke to the Philippians, that God had begun a good work in the Philippians. He said he's begun a good work, he's going to continue it and bring it to completion. Well, he wanted that sort of assurance. He wanted some news for them to know the work begun was continuing, and then the Lord would bring it to completion. So he wanted to know also, had they been tempted? This is the point. He feels he's part of a spiritual battle here. Remember how he mentioned it in the last verses of chapter 2. He said, "We wanted to come and visit you, but Satan stopped us. He hindered us." Remember, we used that word. It was as if the road was being cut up, chopped up. Bridges perhaps were being removed so that the way back couldn't physically happen. Paul felt himself into a battle, and he thought, well, as I'm being prevented from speaking to them about these things and to encourage them in their faith, he was wondering, was the devil tempting them to go back, to fall away from their profession of faith? And this is something that was exercising the apostle very, very deeply, that he might have tempted you. And then our efforts, all that effort that he put in to preach amongst them and the difficulties that he faced in being drummed out of the city, that might have been futile. It might have been useless. It might have come to nothing. I suppose we've had a bit of a season like this, haven't we? So many who were gardening this year had such an encouragement. May was a dry month. They were watering their plants, and tomato plants were in the greenhouse, and everything was looking good. The fruit was coming. And of course, then we had a bit of lovely July, and the fruit started to ripen. And then August, well, the sun was there, but it didn't ripen. And here we are now in September, and everyone's wondering, have all that effort I put in to the fruit and the vegetables, has it been worthwhile? Was it futile? Was it useless? Was it to no avail? And the apostle is concerned about that. And we can think of this then as we think of our own family members, perhaps people we have been in contact with in the past. We just want to know that they're going on in the things of God. And we can't wait now. We're able to do so. And I hope we're making use of this. Those of us still in this sort of measure of lockdown, we don't know what other restrictions will be brought into the area in which we're living here in South Wales. But will we keep going on and keep encouraging one another? And will we have a longing to find out, not just to become isolated in our own little minds? And as long as our immediate family are doing all right, we haven't got to worry about anyone else. May that be the case. It's the heart of the apostle, and it once says this reflects the heart of the Lord Jesus also. Now, secondly, this evening, let's look at verse 2, which tells us of the labourer that was released by the apostle to go to Thessalonica. "We sent Timothy," we read, "who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith." Paul sent the best suited person. He spoke so well of Timothy. Later on, when he writes to the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 20, this is how he describes. It's a bit of a description of the qualities of Timothy. Paul said to the Philippians, "I have no one else like him, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. So that was to the Philippians. Well, Paul knew it was the same with these Thessalonians. He could send Timothy there to find out how they were doing, and he would come with a pastoral heart. He would ask the right questions, and he'd listen to the responses, and he'd weigh that up, and he'd be in that very process of helping them through this time, and then obviously going to bring a report back to Paul at Athens. He's described as a brother. He was certainly the son in the faith to Paul. Paul and was instrumental under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the conversion of Timothy, along with obviously the influence of his mother and grandmother. He called him often the son, my son, but also he was a brother in the gospel. This is the wonderful thing. Usually brothers, there's no more than about 20, 25 years between them, I suppose. If you're a very, very large family, you could have a younger brother, some 20 years younger than yourself. But in the Christian faith, you can be 40, 50, 60 years difference in age, but you're brothers, brothers and sisters, members of the family of God. And that's how Paul described him. And he knew also that he was a brother to the Thessalonians, because they were all part of that great family redeemed in the blood of the Saviour. And he also describes Timothy, you notice, as a fellow worker, God's fellow worker, who works alongside God, as Paul and Silas were doing in bringing the purposes of God to Greece and to Europe. As we know, this was the entry of the gospel into Europe, beginning at Philippi, Berea, and Thessalonica in those that 16th and 17th chapter of the Acts. And the visit then, the purpose again, we see it, was to strengthen and encourage. That's very clear from verse 2, that to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. One translation has it as to establish you and to encourage you. There's this thought now then of coming to them, giving them something. This is the main concern of the Apostle Paul all the time. Chapter 2, he dealt with these insinuations that Paul had come to get. Paul had come to take from them. Actually, Paul had come to give to them. Nothing that he had himself, only what he himself had been given. And he sends Timothy in the like manner to strengthen, to equip, to establish and encourage them in the faith. And this faith, again, as we've said, it's not so much the individual doctrines. He's outlined that in chapter 1 about the atonement, about the incarnation, about the resurrection. He's talking now about the fact that they would be established in the faith, that that which they'd started believing, they would continue to believe. Paul is aware, we've said it, he's aware of the tempter, and Paul is concerned that if there is evil at work, that might stop them then, certainly it stopped him from going to see them, but is he at work in discouraging those believers in Thessalonica? And he sends someone reliable, he sends some genuine character. I mentioned it in the prayer. You see it in a larger scale. Now, the Lord Jesus in no senses was restricted and was hindered by the devil in anything that he did. But having the Lord Jesus, having completed the work of salvation by his life of obedience and his death on the cross, tells the disciples, I am leaving you, but I am sending someone to you. I'm sending another. And we know that there's this emphasis upon that word another. Two words for it, another of a different kind, another of the same kind. And what Jesus told the disciples was, I'll send another of the same kind like unto me. And in one sense, the Apostle Paul's heart, you see it reflected in the heart of Timothy, a man who has your genuine welfare at hand. I have no one else like him, says the Apostle. It's like as if the Spirit of God is sent to us to what? To strengthen us and to establish us, to encourage us, so that we might not fall back in the faith. And I wonder perhaps if you're someone this morning, this evening, who's begun the Christian life, you're not a new convert, as I've already mentioned, you've been walking with the Lord for some time. But at the moment, you feel something of the temptation, you feel something of the pressure, something of the battle. And perhaps you're in need of someone to come alongside you and just to encourage you. Who would you want to come? Would you'd want to have someone who's genuine. You'd want to have someone who's reliable. You'd want to have someone who could listen and then pray with you and for you, and perhaps get you through this little bit of a time that you're going through at the moment. And we don't know. We don't know what this autumn and the winter is going to bring, but we need to pray, Lord, then send me someone who could do that, who could just help me through this. Now, we know the Lord is our helper. He comes to us in the person of his Holy Spirit. But we know that Paul himself, on another instance, spoke of how he had been encouraged by the coming of Titus. And Paul was helped by that. So we need to pray. And perhaps if the Spirit of God puts someone in your mind this coming week, well, then you might not be able to physically go and see them, as obviously Timothy was able to make the journey. Well, then phone them. Send them a little card. Send them an email just to encourage them in their faith that they might not be tempted to go back. Now we're coming to the third and final point here. What we notice is the Apostle Paul now reiterates, he retells a lesson that he was certainly part of what he'd said when he was in Thessalonica. You read it in verses 3 and 4. This is the lesson recalled, the lesson retold, really. It's very clear. So that no one would be unsettled by these trials, you know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. Paul anticipated the fact that they might be unsettled. They're going through this. They've committed their lives to Christ. Things are hard. And we know the civic leaders in Thessalonica were against Paul, and they were trying to plan to make sure he couldn't return. And they were also probably trying to dampen any enthusiasm amongst this group of believers. And so that they wouldn't become unsettled as they face these trials and difficulties, Paul simply tells them that he knows life could be a lot easier for them were they to fall away, were they to compromise. And that's, in one sense, a challenge for us as individual believers. In the short term, I suppose, it could be easier. It could be less of a problem, less of a difficulty, less of a trial if we compromise. Again, you might be someone in a home, you are a believer, and the pressure is on Sunday. Well, it's a family day. You should spend time with this. Why are you going to church? Well, you're not going to church. Well, why are you spending time on that computer watching that service? You can do that in the week. Lots of people are catching up on services in the week. Now, you can spend time with the family. And of course, you can feel something of that difficulty and trial about it. Well, he points out here that this is part and parcel of the calling of a Christian. Not to become unsettled in your mind. This is part of the course. In one sense, if you don't know any of this, you're not on the right course. This is part and parcel of being a believer. You know quite well, he says, that this is something that happens. It is, we are destined for it. And that we now, that plural, again, isn't just now Paul, Silas and Timothy, the we of the opening verses of this book. But this includes the Thessalonians. It includes you and I this evening. Were we to understand this, that being part and parcel of being a Christian is that we're destined for these trials and difficulties. It's part of what we're to experience. It's not easy. But you see, there are some preaching the gospel today say if you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, none of these things, you'll never be troubled again. You'll always be healthy. You'll always be wealthy. They put it like this. Wouldn't you like to travel first class? Well, of course we would. But we know certainly that at times the company that we keep, fellow believers, God is our helper. And the Spirit of God dwells within our hearts. We're in good company. We travel in first class company. But we know the journey is not always first class. Sometimes, the roads are rough. Sometimes the passage and the journey is difficult. It's not always an easy road. And not everyone is clapping us and glad to see us. But we're reminded that this is part and parcel of what it means to be a Christian. And Jesus, we know, told the disciples this very thing. Back in John chapter 16, Jesus is in the upper room. He's giving instruction to his disciples concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit. We've mentioned that already this evening. Well, in John chapter 16, he puts them on warning. He just highlights something. He says this, but that they will throw you out of the synagogue. There'll be a time coming when those who kill you would think that they're offering God service. And in John 16, verse 4, it's very clear. Jesus says, I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. Forearmed, forewarned. And in like manner, Paul and Silas and Timothy, when they were in Thessalonica, they didn't say, oh, come to Jesus, he can forgive you all your sins, you'll always be happy ever and ever. They could have done that. A number of people could have believed. No, Paul, we know, was a man who preached the whole counsel of God. He said, yes, you can have your sins forgiven. You can know joy and happiness, but it doesn't come without its difficulties. There will be those who won't be happy that you're happy and your sins are forgiven. They want you to be as miserable as they are. And they'll make it so as best as they can, humanly speaking. And forewarned, forearmed, you know that this could come to you as well. And interestingly enough, later on, Paul writes to Timothy. And he even reminds Timothy of this with a reference in 2 Timothy, the second letter, the last letter, I think, more or less, that Paul the Apostle ever wrote. And in chapter 3 and verse 12, he reminds Timothy. It's a personal letter to him. He says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And he just underlines it in Timothy. So we need to be told this from time to time. It's not going to be an easy journey. And we've known a difficult 6 months. It's been a 6 months like we've never gone through before. But the Lord has been our helper and he's been our strength. So there we have this wonderful picture then of the longing of the apostle, the labourer who he sends to them, and this lesson. And it's a lesson we need to underline. Life is not always easy. But that's not because we're out of sync or we're out of the will of God. We are destined for this. Think of the Lord Jesus. Think of the path that he trod. Now, that was a path so unlike ours. We can perhaps more identify with the Apostle Paul. But the Lord Jesus' path was not an easy path. But he stuck to it because he knew that that was the only way that sinners could be reconciled to his heavenly Father. So the road might be rough and the journey might be tough. But we know, as one old saint said, the landing is sure. So Paul now sends Timothy to say, keep on. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Keep doing it. Keep doing what you're doing. Do it more and more. Trust, have faith, walk with the Saviour. Encourage one another. And we leave it there tonight. Now, next time, God willing, we look at the reply and the report that Timothy brings. And all we'll say is, no news was good news. Well, it wasn't at the time. But when the news does come, the Apostle Paul is thrilled to bits as he hears what God has done in his absence. Because it's all a work of God in the end, is it not? We stand as individuals. We've got one another. We've got perhaps the books we can read and the places we can go and the sort of things we can watch on the computer. But in the end, we're on our own. But the Lord begins a work in us and he continues that work and brings us through. So may God bless his word to our hearts as we enter now then into this new week, assured of his love and kindness towards us. We pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us this evening. We pray that God will be with you through this week. Join us next Sunday morning for a family service and a special guest preacher, the Reverend John Funnell from Noddfa in Abersachen next Sunday night. But until then, God bless and have a good week.